And it is just a few seconds before 10 a.m. Coming up is Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. That will be followed today at 10:15 by Locus Focus with host Barbara Bernstein. She speaks with forest ecologist Dominic Della Sala and Chad Hansen about the vital role that fire plays in promoting healthy forest ecosystems. At 11 on Disability Awareness, Barry Vogel interviews Yale University Medical School professor Dr. Sally Shaywitz, author of Overcoming Dyslexia. And at 11:30 on Voices for Animals, host Dab Stedman talks with Cindy Scheel, the executive director of the PAW, PAW team in Portland, about free essential vet care and related services to pets of the homeless and low-income families. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 5th through March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 22nd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today we're going to be speaking with India Reed Bowers. She's a cultural anthropologist and she specializes in international law, of human rights and criminal justice, based in the Netherlands. She is an extraordinary writer, an extraordinary speaker. We're going to be talking today about indigenous decolonization and United Nations membership. Think about that one for just a moment. Indigenous people and their fundamental right to self-determination. And the thesis here that we're discussing provides legal arguments for the inclusion of indigenous and tribal peoples as members of the United Nations, equal to states, but not required to form states. This is going to be made possible through an equality and dignity-based examination of UN decolonization, friendly relations, and self-determination. The arguments contained in are pretty much what we're going to be discussing today, with a bit of a local emphasis, because we have been recently looking into the saga of the Jack family and their efforts. Simply, they don't want to be, the Salilo YM don't want to become members of the United Nations, at least not for now. But they certainly would like to be recognized. It seems so obvious. The name of their tribe is Salilo YM. Other tribes there that lay claim to fishing sites and the Salilo village are not remotely connected historically, as far as heritage is concerned, really in any way. Well, they are in the sense that all tribes are part of Soilo, since Soilo was the quote-unquote Wall Street of the day. It was where everyone gathered to trade. It was in one of the most important locations on the internal map in the minds of all of those who lived in the region, passed through, moved from one place to another, pretty much upending the concept of nomad in the sense that everyone and no one is a nomad. Today, we could argue that people are nomads because they followed jobs wherever jobs take them. That said, we're going to be speaking with her very shortly. We may also be able to talk with Matt Stannard. Matt's been on the show a number of times. We talk a lot about public banking, and there's more news for you on that front. Until we are able to reach India, though, we want to just breeze through a few headlines for you. If you haven't heard, the Kalamazoo shooting in Kalamazoo, 6 people dead, absolutely random. People are when you have an environment and a habitat that is sickened and dying, as our habitat here is, our natural resources depleted, we really pretty much become a third world country. And when there is madness in the political system, and there's madness in our healthcare system, madness in the way that we manage our public lands, madness in the roots of our food supply that poisons the poor and enriches the rich, then you get random shootings like this. There's no way you could separate the creature from the habitat. You poison the habitat, you poison the creature. We have madness now pretty much every direction that we look. And the environment, there's no mystery why the shootings in Kalamazoo and all the other shootings that we have seen recently around the country, no mystery at all. The Environmental Protection Agency says that the uncontrolled spread of quote-unquote small amounts of radioactive waste at Hanford after a November 17th windstorm has finally started to alarm the EPA. Wait a minute. November 17th? February 22nd? Isn't that rather late to become alarmed? Americans are, if nothing else, Americans are easily stampeded. And this seems like we're rather late off the block on this one. Okay, we're going to be speaking with Michael. Michael, I believe, is also in Geneva and is going to join us today to talk about Indigenous justice and the struggle to be included in the United Nations. Indian or Native Indigenous peoples are working right now. The people like India, people like our guest today, Michael, have been working in Geneva over the past few days to establish membership for tribal peoples in the United Nations. Michael, good morning, and it's good evening there, isn't it? You're in Geneva, is that right?
Actually, I'm not in Geneva. Actually, I am in right now on the St. Carlos Apache Indian Reservation in St. Carlos, and my colleague, one of our colleagues who helped do our report on the Papa Bull Indicatorum that we submitted to the 88th session of the Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination back in November. And my colleague, India, is in Geneva right now because she's working on another topic with the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW. And so she lives in Sweden, and but she's an American U.S. citizen. And we've been doing work together in the international arena for many years, but we just used this treaty body as the way to get the Papa Bull Indicatorum of 1493 and the Doctrine of Discovery repudiated and reversed for our, the justice of the indigenous, for Mother Earth, actually, you know. This is plain view here, but we, as a Apache people, have more of a relationship with these colonial powers that are very strong, and it's been established since the 1500s. So we have been doing our work using the mechanisms in which the United Nations has to address different types of realities that all civil society, indigenous peoples, and states, which are really human beings, you know, running around and masquerading as different characters.
Yes.
However, we as people, as the people, you know that word Ndé, Apache Ndé, Ndé, that means the people. And so we take it seriously, the effects of using the name the people, because it identifies all of us as people, human beings. And so when we have situations in our world about us that are characterized in law, in social movements of people, in behaviors of society that are contrary to life itself, I mean, some of us have to step in and to take the reins of these processes to retain life. I mean, we're thinking about, in our language, means balance and beauty. Walking in a beautiful way and having harmony in your life. And so, but this is not happening, even in the international world, and as we see wars arising all around us, different types of corporations are dealing adversely against people and humanity. The weather itself, global warming. So we have a responsibility at this time. Now it's time for the Indians, if you will, the indigenous and the native peoples, to take that trust responsibility that the courts have so deemed upon us, and to reverse it and take the responsibility back for the earth to live. This is very important at this time, as we can see. So we have made advances in doing work, at least with the Holy See. We had a finding that the CERT Committee, the Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, said that the Papal Bull and the Holy See and the Doctrine of Discovery, and all of these are the Holy See is responsible for the past and ongoing legacy and effects that have harmed us. This is, you know, if we look at the world as a whole, everybody is an indigenous person. But the people who describe themselves as people, not as subhuman beings, but as you and I, the people are the ones who are affected by everything. And this is the most important concept. It is not new. It is ancient concepts. And so we need to apply ourselves and behave ourselves in a way that we can cast a better life for your grandchildren, my grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and life itself. And so we're making advances in the legal parameters in a just way for justice. And at some point in time, as we continue to build our nation here shortly, we will emerge as peace people to help retain the Earth's woman's life, and that's all the people in it. Some of us love Mother Earth. I believe that probably you do too.
I farm, so I do. Michael, hang on a minute. We've only got about a minute left. I want to ask. I want to make sure I've got your could you tell us again your last name?
My name is Michael Paul Hill. Paul Hill.
Okay.
Tribal member of the St. Carlos Apache tribe. But a member of the Apache Nation.
And
a member of the working group Apache Ndé and their working group as well.
I think that the people understanding the word Ndé is very important. I think it's at the core, because the word Ndé implies in it the creatures, all the creatures, human, plants, animals, are part of the habitat. You cannot take the creatures, the living things in a habitat, away from the habitat. You take the habitat away. In the examples, of course, of the various resettlement plans and putting people on reservations far away from the land that they are connected to by legacy, by birthright, by blood, they take them away from that and they cannot exist. People cannot exist if they don't have their ancestral habitat, which runs in their DNA. Right now in Montana, the slaughter of the buffalo coming out of Yellowstone, the people there are grieving. They're grieving because when a buffalo is killed, it's a family member being killed. And that is a really important concept. That's Nde. And thank you for talking about that. That's it. We're flat out of time. I'd love to have you back. I am very, very happy to have you as a guest on the show today. My guest then has been Michael Paul Hill. He's with the Apache Tribe. He's with the working group on establishing recognition of indigenous peoples by the United Nations and other projects too, perhaps equally or if not more important. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, February 22nd, 2016. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right up. Thanks.